Welcome to the Open Mic Comedy Podcast. I'm your host, Mark. If this is your first time here, welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. This is a bonus series of podcast episodes called Comedy Night in the Spotlight, where I'll be speaking to people on the comedy circuit who run their own gigs, giving them the chance to tell you, the listeners, all about it, how you can get involved watching the comedy they put on, and also how to apply to perform. If you're a long-time listener, then two of these voices will be familiar to you. So it is with my great pleasure to welcome along Emmy, Charisse, Joy and Stacey from Candy Store Comedy. Yay! Yay! Hi. Hello. How are you all doing?
Grand.
We're good.
Amazing.
Not too bad.
You all prepared?
Of course we are.
Yeah.
We just had a meeting about this.
Yeah.
So come on then.
Garden,
yeah, drinking gin
with Molly the dog.
Yeah,
yeah. Bonus lady. Yeah,
I love the way it's so casual. It's brilliant.
Yeah, that's what you want, isn't it? It's just like we're having a lovely chat with a pal.
Do you meet like corporate comedians regularly?
So come on then, tell us about the night, the background, how and why, and all of that jazz. Get us started.
Who wants to go?
Joy, go.
Me, go.
Because me and Emmy have chatted on this before.
Okay, right? Everyone's bored of us.
Okay, so it's not actually a night. Oh my gosh.
Ooh.
It's a brunch show. It's a bottomless brunch show at Dabbers in Hackney, where we are doing the show the first Saturday of every month. And we are championing women and NB comedians. We do have token males. anything else I need to...
It's really good.
It is very good.
It's an amazing show. You've got the best up-and-coming comedians on the scene, some semi-pro, some, I'd say, verging on pro at this point.
Yeah.
Some of them we kind of strong-armed into coming on.
Yeah.
No, they didn't. They were like, we desperately want to come on your show, actually.
Yeah. Begging us, if anything.
We are an incredibly economically friendly option for the brunch huns among us. I'm one of them. You can get bottomless bubbles and food and an amazing comedy show with a stellar lineup for just £35. Or if you don't want to eat, you can get just £22 tickets for bottomless bubbles. And I think you can actually get like a full bottle of Prosecco per person out of it, because that's what two people did.
I'm sure someone had a bottle and a half each at one show.
We also do comedy-only tickets as well. Mm-hmm. So we do comedy-only tickets for £12 as well. So if
for you non-drinkers out there.
Yeah.
Yes, let's be inclusive.
Yes.
They do actually have a bottomless like mocktail option as well.
Nice.
For those who want to have lots of juice.
A serious sugar rush without any of the crippling anxiety. For a bit of context, we have got like two packets of Haribo next was right now, so like the thought of bottomless sugary drinks is making me feel very weird.
It's as we're recording this now, it's April 24. So how many nights have you done, and how have you found organizing your own night and getting everything prepared so far?
Well, we've done two so far.
Sorry, I should say it's day, it's not night.
It goes
on into the night normally, but
to be honest, it's very difficult because like I emceed the first one, and our second MC also referred to it as a night, because, you know, we try and make it feel that way. You know, the blinds are drawn, everyone's hammered. Like, we're really trying to create a nighttime vibe, but at 2 p.m. Ish. So yeah, that is the kind of feeling we're trying to get from people, because we want people to relax and have fun. What was the question again? How we found running it. Well, it's been a baptism of fire, hasn't it, ladies? I think that's fair to say. I myself have run an open mic night before, but I realised very quickly that is nothing in comparison to running a proper paid full-on show.
Yeah.
It's been a real shock to the system. And anyone else listening who runs a night will know how tricky it is to work out how best to market it. Like, we've been doing everything we can think of to get bums on seats. You know, we've been flyering all around Hackney. We've been putting it on the socials. I've had to learn how to use TikTok. That's how keen we are to get people in. And obviously calling on friends, family. Joy and I have joked today that we might rejoin the dating apps.
Invite
10 guys each, and then, you know, we're halfway there. We really are. We're just trial and error at the moment. It's new and we're learning every day. But, you know, I think we've had two really good shows so mm-hmm. far, so we're pretty proud of it. So
comedians... comedians are really keen and they love it. They've seen the branding. Like we paid money to have that branding done. It looks amazing and we've been given the pieces to make some beautiful content, which I think we've been doing. Yeah, the comedians really love it because what we're putting out there is great, but because it's linked to like our accounts, and so obviously the algorithm of where all of our content going is really comedians, which is great. But funnily enough, comedians aren't really the punters that will be filling our show out. Mm-hmm. So it's now trying to figure out a way of tapping into the Hun market, getting onto, you know, we want to be on like the things to do lists for your 40th or for your hen do or whatever, because that's really the vibe that we're looking for.
Out of interest, Mark, would you say the core demographic for this podcast was brunch huns?
It's growing. So the location, whereabouts is it and why did you choose that location? Or did they come to you?
Do you want to take this one, Deb? Yeah.
Sure. Why did we choose this location? Well, we didn't. It came to us in a group chat. Someone said, hey, the Dabbers Bingo in Hackney needs, they're looking for a brunch show, a brunch comedy show. Who's interested? Let me know. Reach out to these people. And Stacey, I think you asked.
Stacey was the glue holding it all together, basically.
Basically, recruited us. And so then we got started.
It's not a cult.
It's not a cult.
The doors.
That's what we're eventually hoping
Which one of us is the charismatic leader?
I'm not charismatic.
Was it like a tender process as such, or was it just a case of first come, first? We'll do the show.
That's literally it. We just volunteered and said, yeah, we'll do it. Yeah. And we had no idea what we were taking on.
No.
Fair enough.
Big old beast.
We were so excited when we started, and now we're just tired.
It's fine. We're riding it.
We are riding that beast.
But we're doing it for you, audience. We're doing it. We are stressing ourselves out and being exhausted because we want to put on a great show for you.
We want to make you happy.
We want to get you drunk.
We want to see you. We want to get you prunk in the club.
You come out into the daylight at like 5 o'clock in the evening, blinking like, what is happening? I thought I was on a night out.
Yeah, I guess that's a bit surreal, isn't it? It's almost like when you go to the cinema and during the day, and then you leave, it gets to evening time. You're like, what's just happened?
Okay in the winter because it's like dark at 4:30. It's the summer ones where you come out at 5 and you're like, I've been in darkness for 4 hours and it's still light outside and people are with their children.
Oh, that's the worst.
Maybe.
I think a lot of my pals were in bed by 8 p.m. after we did our first show. Which,
really?
Yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm. Just shows how drunk they were.
Yeah.
But good value drunk.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's not the only reason, because also we have some quite stringent rules of decorum for the attendees.
We do.
For stringent rules, you know, we expect the audience to have a great time and we expect them to respect the acts and listen and not heckle and not get carried away, just like we expect the acts to do exactly the same thing for the audience.
Want everyone to feel like comfortable enough to have a good time, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And let loose, but not so loose that they like fall all over the floor, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to be picking people up or giving them a bucket to clear things up with.
I'm so good at picking people up.
Yeah, I mean, you lift weights, right? So
I meant in the flirting sense.
Oh, I just thought you meant off the floor.
Yeah,
that's what I meant.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So what makes this different from I guess a lot of the people I've spoken to already is that this is a proper ticketed, not a open mic, turn up, chuck some money in the jar at the end. It's a case of it's a proper event.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're very, what's the word? I don't want to say picky.
Discerning,
yeah, towards the acts that we book. Like, we make sure that we get, like, people that we think will fit the right vibe and just be very good.
Yeah, and it's not, in the nicest possible way, not the place to come and try out your new jokes. Like, we want your best stuff, basically. It's a paying audience. Out of respect for them, we want people to come and do their best bits. That's what we've been getting.
And it's not just comedy as well. There's a cabaret as well. We have a cabaret act.
We do. Yeah. We do have a cabaret act, which has been our very own joy for the last couple of shows, which has been wonderful.
But the next one is not me, and she is amazing.
Her video looks amazing.
She's so good.
Odelia Opium.
Yeah.
I mean, Charisse, like open micers. We didn't want to have that strong association with the night because obviously we're trying to attract paying audience and like a certain level of acts, which you do still see in open mic, but they're the ones that, you know, hopping about. But then we realized that we're also incredibly charming as well as being hot.
And humble.
And I was going to say, very, very humble.
And we should be capitalizing on that. So we've been brainstorming and Emmy does have a hot tub in her garden. So expect to see some bubbly content.
Mm-hmm. Hot tub pics.
Yep.
Yeah. We're thinking Smack the Pony vibes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Remember that show? Did you watch that show, Mark?
That was because I'm American.
If you didn't watch it, you're not a feminist, so think carefully.
Did you watch that show, Mark? I'm genuinely interested.
Not offhand.
It was because it was for girls, because it was in the 90s.
That was when
Mark thought the women weren't funny.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Stop putting words in my mouth.
Awkward laugh. But you think they're funny now, right, Matt?
Of course. Mm. Of course. Mm. Everyone has seen.
Just
checking.
And check I have in. A lot of love for him.
So in the first couple of shows you put on, have there been what memorable moments can you pick out, some funny things to get the listeners wanting to come over to pay you and watch the show?
You could see Charisse put a chair on the stage beautifully.
This sounds like an in-joke.
So close to putting it in the right spot.
Oh, such a laugh though, didn't it?
So basically, as part of Joy's burlesque act, she has to dance around, jump onto, you explain.
I use a chair. I do the chair dance and I do a chair drop and then I dance on the chair, but it needs to be in a very specific place. But it's fine because I moved it and then it's fine. It's not...
To be fair, I was not told where to specifically put the chair. I was told to put the chair on the stage with enough space for her to move. And I was like, okay, yeah, this looks like enough space.
You're like, she's quite small. She won't move around. And I'm like, actually, I have to throw myself around the stage.
Yeah. So what other moments have we had that's memorable then?
Other than the chair? Oh,
I mean... There are lots. The first show that we did when we ran a competition. So basically, it was really cool, and I've never seen a response like this before when you do a competition with the crowd. So we challenged them in the break to write up a story, like their pub story that they would tell as a stand up.
Break.
So we had, I think, about 6 people, which was too many people for how
really
long it took.
Didn't think that many people were going to go for it. Yep. Turns out if you've had bottomless for an hour, they're well up for it.
Yeah,
none of them were comedians and did not respect the light.
No. But some of them were. Some of them had like some serious like potential that they could have been.
Yeah.
And it was just really exciting to see a crowd of drunk public get up and try and do what we do and actually not fail at it like they did.
Yeah, they were
good.
All really
not
good.
At all. And some of the stories were brilliant.
Yeah,
there was gross, one but
one young lady who shall remain nameless because I can't remember her name who S'd herself whilst wearing a white bikini. That was a good one, in front of her boyfriend and her boyfriend's dad. There was another. Oh, so one of my friends, who I won't name because she works at Parliament and probably won't want me to name her, told the story of the time after the Euros, she got locked in a pub toilet overnight and only got woken up by the cleaner the next morning.
Oh,
and like 4 a.m., wasn't it?
Yeah.
5 a.m. or something?
Yeah. There were some really good stories, actually.
My sister did one and she was pissed that she didn't win.
Oh, she was really funny.
She was great.
I thought she was hilarious. And I messaged you, she was really funny. And you were like, no.
No.
She went on first. That's the problem. You never win when you go on first.
No.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, we all know this. So she doesn't know the competition scene, obviously.
There was also a great one at the last show on the 6th of April. It happened to coincide on the day of my husband's birthday. And because I'm the best wife, I managed to persuade him to have his birthday at the brunch. and lots of friends came and we celebrated. But one of the things we did was invited him up on stage to get, did we sing happy birthday to him?
Yeah.
Yes. We sang happy birthday and then he took a birthday shot. We did that in place of the competition this time because I jumped on and did an extra 5 minutes that we weren't planning on doing at the start. But that was a really, really nice moment and everyone got super involved. And it wasn't because half the people in the room were my friends. Everyone was just really excited by my husband doing a shot.
And he had a lovely time, didn't he, on his birthday?
He had a great old time.
He looked well happy.
Yeah, he was a happy, happy chappy.
All of the shows have been amazing.
No, we've had some like really amazing acts on that, you know, I think we've like been absolutely buzzing that we've had on. Like Shalaka was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was really good.
Really funny. Taught me the word chuggy, which I didn't know.
I can't believe you didn't know chuggy.
I know.
It's kind of chuggy not to know
chuggy. I know.
I think we're going to need to know.
Mark, do you know what chuggy is?
Have to explain, yeah.
No.
It's a Gen Z word that's actually out of fashion now. So
yeah.
Sozzle.
That's why we've started using it then.
That's always what happens.
What does it mean though?
It means you're kind of lame.
Yeah. Cringe.
Is it something associated with millennials?
All millennials are chuggy.
Okay, fine.
We have no riz. Soz.
Yeah. And then as soon as we co-opt their language, it's not cool.
One of the other things that we've had to learn quite quickly is because there are multiple dabbers across London.
Okay.
We've both audience and acts have gone to the wrong one.
Yeah.
Oh.
On more than one occasion. Like, we've making a really conscious effort now, like, in all our communication with the acts, like, in capital letters. It's the one in Hackney. But yeah, this problem keeps repeating. Like it's quite confusing for people, I think.
Yeah. I'm not sure what else I can do with like the ticketing side of things. Cause like I put the address
other than
in.
Say
like,
the word Hackney. Yeah. But the problem is when you look online, ours is not the first one that comes up. It's the city one, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a similar vibe, but it's just a bigger venue, covers are more, etc.
And a completely different place.
And it's
a completely different place.
Completely different location in
with
London.
No comedy brunch on.
No.
Fortunately, not too far, so that it's easy enough when you make the mistake to correct the mistake.
Yeah.
But one of our acts arrived quite sweaty, having cycled to the wrong one and then quickly had to cycle.
Yeah.
Those are the problematic ones. Oh, and then the most recent one was our incredible burlesque act, who we would have relied on in the future, but now we can't because her body doesn't want to do stuff anymore. And I remember I was like trying to get her to not perform at the most recent show because someone has an injury, but someone is insistent anyway.
It'll be fine.
Exactly. That's the response. I was like, are you really sure? Because I just had a knee tear operation. Are you sure?
Well, maybe I'll have one of them.
Yeah, hopefully.
The show must go on.
And it did.
All right, Ziegler.
And we were very grateful. Even if your knees are ruined forever.
I wanted to talk about the level of comedians that you've had on.
Sure.
In terms of, you kind of touched on it already, but in that it's the step up from just the open mic circuit. So it's more comedians that want to... that have a show to do rather than a show to experiment with.
Yeah. Yeah, so a lot of the people that were coming through are the ones that are working on their split bills or their hours, so we're getting sections of that. For good sake, I keep burping. We do have a range of, like, the spots from everything from 7 to 15, although we're thinking about bringing that down for the headliner, 20. Just because people are drunk by the headliner and, like, holding attention for 20 minutes can be a challenge.
Okay, yeah, I see.
Yeah, so we do have spots for the more experienced open micers or the people that are just, you know, there are those few people that get up and start doing, like Liana, for example, who's smashes it, but it's still only done, I think she's only like 100 gigs, which I know to me seems like loads, but to a person who's been doing it 5 years, 100 gigs is like nothing, right?
Yep.
So, yeah.
It all falls, so the kind of the most of the acts are pro, semi-pro type things, but you give, as well as... You're basically championing female comedians.
Yes.
Is that
yes.
fair to say?
Yes.
Yeah.
With your token male.
Yeah.
And you also like to allow people that are coming on to or that are on the, it sounds wrong to say the lower part of the circuit that want to start doing a bit more, that you think are, that have the potential. You're welcoming them to come along as well.
potential.
Yeah, it's I think like people we love.
People who we think, who we believe are going to make it.
Yes. Yeah, we want to just because we get in with them now.
Right. Yeah.
While they're free.
Why do you think we started the podcast?
It's people that we think are really funny. We're not just, you know, first come, first served at all. Like, we're literally, we're curating it in a very kind of deliberate way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are quite picky.
We're discerning. Mm. That's the
discerning.
Right. Discerning.
Mm. We do have to send quite a lot of male-directed rejection emails and messages.
Yeah, we get a lot of unsolicited emails from men.
I mean, it's fine. I don't mind. Like, they see a show, they want to do it.
Of course.
I thought you were going to say dick.
I respect the hustle.
Yeah, yeah. We respect the hustle, but unfortunately.
But also, it's a no.
We're a show for female and MB comedians.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
Cool.
And so that's fun. It's always fun as well when you get emails from people that won't book you and you're like, well, that's a shame. Hope you have a nice life. Bye.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that's one of the
bonuses.
The bonuses of being faceless, but if we are going to put our faces out there now, which,
I
think we promote it enough on our own socials that everyone
knows. Yeah, I think it's very obvious who is running the show.
The fact that every single day people are bombarded with candy stores.
Yeah, like, literally every time we put something social out on the candy store thing, like, all of us are just like, yes, I'll put it on my personal one.
Yeah, I think people know by now. That's okay.
Yeah.
Cool. So do you go out looking for acts to bring on to Candy Store, or do you basically ask people to email in and give their stuff and sell their pitch to come on?
Well, we don't actively go out looking, because we've all been on the circuit long enough that we have an idea of who we've seen, who we've liked. And also, I think
we've got a list.
We have got a list, actually, of who we want, and that list is quite extensive.
Yeah.
And
I mean, obviously,
we'll get them all over.
We're
time.
Not saying like don't get in contact with
no,
us.
No, not at
because
all.
Because obviously, even between the four of us, we've not seen everyone on the circuit.
No.
So we want to see new people.
Yeah.
We do have a list.
I would say honestly. I don't want it to sound like we are just picking like our friends or something like that.
It's, oh no, I don't know any of them.
A lot of people, we have no idea. We just, you know, we might have seen them before, or seen them on social media or something. Mm-hmm. But it is definitely people who we personally are fans of.
Yeah,
it's people that we think are funny, basically.
I mean, the joy that we get to actually watch the people that we love and on our own show is just really cool. Like, if you're a massive like fan of someone's work, and then it's a real honor if they come and do your show. Actually, it's really nice.
Yeah,
our most recent headliner was Lou Taylor, and I'd only seen her do like really new material at like a 7 p.m. gig when I first started. Mm-hmm. But when I was obsessed with like meeting people and following them, and I followed her, and her sketches are amazing.
That's
and
so
she's
good.
She's across you know, such a Hun vibe. Like, she's on the Sentimental Garbage podcast and all of these sorts of things.
Yeah.
And that would be a great one for us to get.
Love
by
Sentimental
the way.
Garbage.
Do you know anyone, Mark? No, I'm kidding. And then but like, that's the thing. So like, none of us know her personally. Like, I met her once. We followed each other on Instagram. I occasionally reply to her sketches and share them. That is the basis of our relationship. But I was like, I want to get her. That's the point, right? Is that it's like,
oh yeah, I felt a little bit like nervous and fangirly when I met her.
Yeah, me too. I was like that when I met Sakisa.
Yeah, like Lou's videos have got like 15 million hits or something.
Wow.
And like, I've long shared them with my friends and laughed at them. And then to meet her in person, I was like, ooh, you're like famous to me.
That's quite exciting. Yeah, we do get to nerd out about our act.
Yeah. Like, we are just a bunch of dweebs at the end of the day.
Comedy geeks, basically. Yeah. So we're like, oh.
Yeah, we're really sad.
And like, nice to meet you. Lou's work in progress show is called Jeans and a Nice Top, which is just so of.
Best name.
So of the like times that we are like referring to, of like when we were like, say it was like the late noughties, the early teens, and then there was that weird phase where everyone went out in business wear. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Oh my god.
Business my wear, casual office wear in the
but
club.
Like also jeans.
Yeah
I had a business suit from, do you remember that shop, Internationale?
I'm not from here, so I have absolutely no idea.
It was a very good shot.
It was a very great shot. Short-lived shot.
Would it be fair to say that if you were an aspiring act that wanted to appear, rather than dropping an email and you know, faceless kind of stuff, is come along to a show and introduce themselves?
Absolutely, yeah. We love that. Because also we want to know that the people doing it are massive comedy dweebs like we are. Yeah. And like they're just fans of it, you know? So it would be really appreciated if people want to do that.
Yeah, I guess as well is that
I mean, yeah.
It gives you the chance to give off that gives them the chance to understand what the vibe of the actual day is and the show.
Yes.
Rather than just a faceless open mic night you turn up to. And
yeah, it's very different from an open mic. Like,
you can't just come and do anything. It has to be the right thing for us, which we have seen with a few acts when they'll go through a sort of a few minutes, say, of their set where you can tell that the audience, as much as they're like engaged, it's like not quite connecting in ways that other bits have.
Yeah.
Purely because we know exactly what we need.
Yeah.
When it comes to the content.
I think, yeah, the sort of thing we've realised that really plays well is quite high energy, fun. I don't want to sound passive, not too cerebral, possibly.
Yeah. Not too dark, but then like in a quirky, fun way.
If you have a slight Hindu energy to you, you'll probably do well.
Yeah. And it also really helps to have the burlesque or whatever cabaret act that we're working with at the end of the first act, because it really makes it go off with a bang. People love it, and like they are just living for seeing flesh. It's great.
Yeah, they're like hyped up for the second half. Like we're also like really excited about like our lineup for the next show.
Oh my god, yeah, so many really people excited. Are, like,
all of them are really fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a really good one. Yeah. I'm really excited.
It's on the 4th of May at Dabbers in Hackney from 12:30 until
4:30. We've announced the lineup yet?
It's on the website. We haven't posted about it yet. But we can tell you the lineup if you'd like.
It's up to you if you want to reveal it.
We have headlining is Chantel Nash.
Cool.
Under headliner is Cecily Hitchcock, who is going to be like bang on, I think, for what we need. We have Mr. Jonathan Stadlin, aka the runner of Live Next to the Apollo.
Yep.
We have our wonderful Joy, who's performing.
Oh, yeah, me.
We have Charisma, or Katie McLeod. And we have good old Emmy back on doing MC duties, because this one knows how to do that shit so good.
Hello. Speaking of Hindu energy.
Hi. And I just want to say, you know, we said it's 12:30 to 4:30. And when I tell people that, they are like, oh, I can't do that. It's 4 hours. Doors open at 12:30.
Yeah.
Then you will have your bottomless bubbles or whatever for an hour from one to
with
one
a
to
really
two.
Fun soundtrack as well. Yeah. Like we have curated that playlist. Yeah. Like
yeah. So from one to two, and then from two to four
is the show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, it's not like 4 hours of comedy. It's like drinking.
And it's also not 4 hours of bottomless bubbles, no. If that worries anyone. That's not the vibe. We don't want that.
No.
They don't want that. And that's cool.
Yeah,
they just want to get a little bit of a buzz before they have a bit of a giggle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. A loosener exactly. To start with.
We probably should change the way we talk about the show and what happens, because that's a good feedback.
So what's the social links that everyone can find you on?
You can find us on TikTok at Candy Store Comedy, and you can find us on Instagram at @CandyStore_comedy. I'd say we're mostly present on Instagram. We also have a Twitter account, which is Joy.
Candy Store 74.
There we go.
Yeah, it's good that our socials don't match.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't really use the Twitter that much because
of Elon.
It's a dying website.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a fair thing to say.
I mean,
I think anyone does
Twitter, and it's X, isn't it?
Yeah.
And actually, that's I don't know how interesting it is, but when we originally brought the group together to be called to like do this, I just looked at words that were associated with bingo. So, you know, they have like two fat ladies, 88.
Yep.
That's the only one I can think of as an example right
now. Two little ducks, 22.
There we go. So I just Googled like terms for numbers, and for 74 in America, bingo, is Candy Store. So as a holding name for our WhatsApp group is what I put it there. And I was like, just so you know, like this isn't something we have to call it. It's just what I've found. And then when it came to actually figuring out the name, Turns out everyone got quite used to that. So that's how it became Candy Store. Yeah. 74.
And then it turned out that Dabbers had a whole little pick and mix store site. So it felt like fate.
So many sweets.
Yeah.
So many sweets.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
It's a happy, happy coincidence. Mm-hmm.
I'd never heard of 74 being referred to as Candy Store before.
I think it's American bingo because store. Yeah. So I'm going to assume.
Store, you know,
we would say and shop. Candy as well. We don't really.
No.
Sweet shop. Yeah.
Sweetie shop.
The English version of our night
flippity
is.
Flop. There's no number that goes to sweet shop.
The English version of our night is sweet shop. Yeah. Penny sweet shop.
So, is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
So we do pay some of our acts. I think that's important to tell you. So it costs a lot of money for us to run this night between. The printing of all the flyers, the app, don't even talk about the amount of time that we've given. Like, yep. I'm amazed I still have a job, if I'm honest, the amount of time I've spent doing candy stuff things. I hope no one from there listens to this. Doing like social media and like we paid to have the branding done with Laura Jane Walsh or Laura Walsh, who was on our first act on our first show and is so very funny, has funny bones. We love her. Anyone who needs anything design done, go to Laura Walsh. She's amazing.
She's brilliant.
She's so good. And so we paid, you know, not like an insane amount, but like enough that for four people that were just doing it for something, you know, to bring something to life, we had to do a big investment. And we decided we want to pay our acts. And in an ideal world, we pay all our acts. But unfortunately, we do not live in an ideal world. So at the moment, we can afford to pay our headliner and our 15-minute spot and our cabaret performer. And then we're hoping, as the show gets busier...
As we get more of an audience.
More of an audience.
Following.
We should be able to start paying everybody. Yeah, but and then probably back pay some people from the first shows if we can.
Absolutely.
And it's so nice of everyone to come and give their time. We do offer like 50% discount on food. We get all the acts to drink. And we offer them to bring a plus one so that they can bring someone else to watch the show along as well. So there are definitely benefits.
Yeah.
As an act,
and we don't make people stay either. Like we kind of run it like a pro night. So like, if you are performing in the first half, we give you a call time at this specific time. If you're performing in the second half, we give you a call time at this specific time, and we're like, watch the show if you want. You're more than welcome to come and.
But what has been nice is a lot of them have stayed and watched the show, and it's really lovely when they do that. Like, they're under no obligation whatsoever.
But like, if they need to leave, like, or they have a specific time that they need to leave by, we're like happy to kind of, you know.
But sometimes they're enjoying it so much that they stay.
Yes, which is very nice. But like, at the same time, we do know that like we're asking for people's time
on a Saturday.
Yeah, on a Saturday afternoon. So, but actually doing that means we get, because people are, if they're coming into London for a gig Saturday night, we get good people because there's a daytime slot and that's great.
So what's the one thing you'd like to see change about comedy shows?
Well, I think as we've touched on already, we are a female and non-binary focused night. And I think, you know, you yourself, Mark, you're out there on the scene. You know what it's like. The nights tend to be majority male. And, you know, that's great. But we kind of felt like we want to, like, be the change we want to see and, like, make a space that's, like, safe, inclusive for women. I'm sure we've all had an experience being a woman on the circuit where we've maybe run into some kind of situation. And we don't want any of our performers to ever feel like that. So we want to create a really lovely, warm, gorgeous, welcoming space where all our performers feel safe and loved and don't have creepy male acts creeping all over them.
We're not averse to smut, and you know, and
we love it. You've clearly heard.
We're like, bring the smut, but bring it in a kind and inclusive and non-threatening way.
Include everyone in the smut.
Yes, and that's the thing. We do have these rules when we send the emails to the acts, like no racism, no homophobia, no transphobia, no isms of any kind, no ableism, like all of that stuff, because I know that it's something that the four of us, as our backbone, would never want to engage with that sort of thing. And so therefore it's our brand that represents us and we represent our brand. And we just want to make sure that it's true to our morals and what we think is the right thing to be putting out in the world.
Yeah.
God, that sounded sappy as fuck.
But the show is funny, despite how that made it sound.
Sorry, yeah.
That's what I was going to say, is that I'm like, just so we're clear, you can still be hilarious without doing those things.
Exactly.
And for all the haters of women comics out there, yes, women are funny.
Definitely.
Yes. Ew.
All right, not in that moment, it wasn't. But...
You love an AO when you're performing. I've made it part of my five.
And I hear that we have a exclusive discount code for Open Mic Comedy podcast listeners.
That's correct, Mark, bringing it straight to your ear holes. We have an incredible discount for the comedy only tickets, where you can get them for only £8 by entering the code I Love Candy, not case sensitive, at checkout on any of our ticketing sites, but preferably please use Design My Night or the Dabbers website.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
And we'll see you there.
Thank you.
So thank you for listening to this episode of the Open Mic Comedy Podcast. You can find us on Instagram at Open Mic Comedy Pod, and we're on all the W's at openmiccomedypod.com. So give us a please follow and review this podcast on your favorite podcast providers. It does help to boost the amount of people that see it, and also share it with people that you think would enjoy it. So lastly, I'd like to say thank you to the Candy Store Girls, and until next time, I shall speak to you all soon.